A very good morning. This morning, I wanted to do a bit of an introduction, actually, to a series that I thought we might do. Yes, going to do a series. Well, a few months back, I was chatting with Gord Martin from Vision Ministries. And as you know, they help us out at the church. And you folks have had Gord speak to you a few times, too. And he was encouraging me to give some thought to doing some sermons on the Old Testament. I confess, I spend a lot of time publicly and personally in the New Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian, but that doesn't mean we ignore, well, what really adds up to, and especially you can see it even in my large print Bible, but it adds up to like this part of the Bible as opposed to this part. So it's still the biggest part of your Bible. Well over half. And at first I thought, well, maybe we'll do some character studies of some of the men and women back there. We'll do some of those. Didn't want to limit myself only to those, though. So, I mean, well, Gord was encouraging me, and I've known a few pastors and preachers who plan their entire preaching schedule for the whole year, right? They know exactly what they're going to be speaking on, say, 6 months from now, 8 months from now. In fact, the best preachers do this. I have never done that. Well, I don't know. I often speak on things that are happening in the world right now, right? Just to try and help you and me make sense of what's going on around us from the pages of the scriptures. And it might be laziness on my part. I don't know. But I kind of prefer to think of it as being ready in case the Holy Spirit decides to lay something on my heart that needs to be said, something important for that moment. But it's very important that we look at the whole counsel of God. Can't just pick out my favorite stuff to talk to you about. So I have a title for this new sermon series, and I didn't know Diane. I hope Diane remembered to give me my share screen back. Did she? Oh, I think she did. All right. Here is the title for our series: Old Roads That Still Lead Home, Ancient Wisdom from the Hebrew Scriptures. And you can just see the determination in those pink boots to get somewhere, right? We're going to get somewhere. Now, I've kept it kind of generic enough. There we are. Let me just, okay. And now, Diane, you can take it back for the last song. I realized, good for you for thinking of that. Now, it's kind of a generic one, right? Old roads that still lead home, ancient wisdom, because, you know, some Sundays we might just go through one of the Psalms. Maybe spend a few weeks on one particular person or book. You know, not that I want to fly by the seat of my pants when it comes to this sort of thing. I'll have you know, I started working on this sermon back before New Year's. Yep, the one from this morning. Sometimes the inspiration just starts coming out of your head and you got to write it down before you forget. But I wanted to mention a couple things here before we start. Now, this could be my opinion, but I think there's something rather unfortunate in calling the first 39 books in our Bible the Old Testament. Well, it implies that, well, yeah, this is old, outdated, irrelevant, better left in the dust. Now, the title of the New Testament, and again, I don't know, maybe it's my opinion, but sometimes I think about calling it the New Covenant, and because that's what Jesus came to establish for us on the cross. Fulfilling so many of those Old Testament prophecies, and we remember it every time we share communion. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. And Lord willing, we'll be sharing communion next Sunday, so either we'll be doing it virtually or in person. We'll just kind of wait and see. But God is writing his law these days on people's hearts, not on tablets of stone. So I suppose maybe you could call the Old Testament the Old Covenant. It's the Old Covenant, yeah. Or like I did in the subtitle of the series, often I just refer to these as the Hebrew Scriptures, thinking of the children of Israel. When we look back and study these words, see, you and I are doing this as Gentile followers of Jesus. We follow the one who often said, "You have heard that it was written, but I say to you." He had that kind of authority, all authority in heaven and on earth given to him. And we learn from the study and the writings of those people who were the first to put their faith and trust in Christ, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah, whose birth in Bethlehem we celebrated just a little over a month ago. All of the writings in this book, this is all God's word. But I want to put out to you that it's God's word to someone. There's a thought. Not always necessarily to us. We Gentile Johnny and Janie come latelys. So we now share in the goodness and faithfulness of the one true God. We're those wild branches, you know, that have been grafted into the olive tree, as it says in Romans 11. Now, we have to be careful when we do this. But, well, let's see. Take David, for instance, in the Psalms. And I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament lately. And the other day, I was looking in Psalm 109. And I think I even wrote it in my Bible saying, ooh, we can't do this ourselves today. But David in the Psalms, now he can ask God to take vengeance on his enemies. Now, the trucker protest right now in Ottawa, I believe the overwhelming majority of people are there to peacefully talk about some of the mandates, but then there's others. And you know, you see some of the signs, some of the rhetoric, some of the flags. Now, David could ask God, take vengeance on my enemies. In Psalm 109, he prays that God would appoint somebody evil to oppose his enemy. May his days be few. May his children be fatherless. Ah, may the sin of his mother never be blotted out. Psalm 137, daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you, according to what you've done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Oh yeah, that's in your Bible. God wants us to go around killing non-Christian babies? No, in case you were wondering. And it's because of verses like these that I just read for you that people in our day and age, well, they want nothing to do with the Bible. Now, as I mentioned, it takes care. It takes study. We maybe have to do some sifting through sometimes of these words written down here. Interpretation needed, right? For how do we apply these verses here in 21st century Canada? Now, why all the bloodshed, all the fighting, bringing home the spoils of the battle? Let me give you the quick answer for now, here this morning. And it's that, well, under the old covenant, okay, God was using a people, a nation, to bring his righteous justice and punishment on the wickedness of human beings. God has every right to do that, by the way. And he was using Israel to mete out his punishment. But he's not doing that right now. Oh, he will one day, maybe soon. He will judge every wickedness of human beings. No one gets away with anything. But he will do that judging through his son, the one he has appointed. Now, there is a reference to what sometime in the future, Paul says that even we're going to judge angels. But right now, we're not given permission to judge. It is God who will avenge. The Father is in the process right now of calling out a people for himself, saved by grace alone through faith. And while the world should be very much affected and enhanced, and the world should be even blessed because there are Christians in the world, our light should make a huge difference to people around us. Yet, it's how we shine that light. We're not called to be part of a culture war, for instance. We're not to be some kind of morality police, calling for boycotts, deciding who the real Christians are by what church they go to or how they voted politically. And like I say, it's a can of gasoline, so I'll be careful dropping this match into it. But of course, you're free to protest peacefully. That's what makes Canada a great country. But what's happening in Ottawa has gone a little farther than the mask mandates for truckers, which, by the way, I was never in favor of. I mean, those people are so socially distanced up there in the cab. They even sleep in those trucks. But people now saying, you know, let's get rid of all restrictions. Well, of course, everybody wants that, right? But here in the Waterloo region, we just had 26 people just this month who died from COVID-19. Do we care? I got a private message from a friend of mine. She and her family, they moved to Ottawa, used to live here in Ayr. And she just said, boy, you know, because I posted something on my social media, and she said, thank you for doing that. She said, we have a daughter who works in a store in Ottawa. And yesterday they had to close the store down because people were just coming in droves into the store, not wearing masks and refusing to, and just being belligerent. And, you know, think about it. You got your daughter in high school or whatever, having to deal with the public in the first place. And now to have people refusing to abide by things. And it's like, I don't know. Is that what we really want to be? Is that what we're given permission to be? Jesus says to his followers, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If there's a soldier, somebody in authority who tells you to carry his heavy backpack for a mile, you carry it 2 miles. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, that kind of teaching is absolutely foreign in many Christian circles here in North America. And I just want to say to Mark and to Kevin again, how much I appreciated what you guys were sharing there, because that's what we need to share more of. Those kinds of verses, those kinds of words from Jesus. Because when people start to hear those words in some Christian circles, not all, but in some, they'll say, no, that's too much socialism, right? You don't work, you don't eat, plain and simple. And if you need to, you make sure you get the biggest, baddest assault rifle you can find. If somebody comes to take something from you, you blow their head off. You think I'm kidding? Like, a Facebook friend of mine posted a picture of a box of Velveeta cheese. Good old box of Velveeta, except the lid was off and it was full of bullets. And what are those? What do they call them? Ot-26 or what are those ones? You got any hunters out there like those big ones? Big ones for taking down a deer, right? And the box was full of them. And then the caption was something like, if you break into my house and I say, honey, get the Velveeta. Hey, don't say we didn't warn you. That lock was on that door for your protection. In other words, there, and this was a Christian person, they're sitting there ready, fully armed, to make sure you don't get out of their house alive. I don't know. That attitude is promoted, by the way, in a lot of successful churches in our day and age. Is that who we are? Is that who we want to be? Now there are promises in the Hebrew Scriptures, for instance, made to the children of Israel. We cannot claim those. There have been all kinds of wrong teachings that many followers of Jesus have latched onto. The first and easy one that comes to my mind as I was putting this down was, you know, the health and wealth, the prosperity gospel preachers. They've created some very popular, very successful empires. In fact, they've gathered a large following, right? Mega churches speaking to thousands of people and great wealth as well. We are the disciples of the one who didn't even have a place to lay his head. He had to be buried in a borrowed tomb. And he pretty much warned us. He said, listen, you want to follow me? I mean, the foxes have a place to lay their, you know, they have a den, birds have a nest. I don't even have a place to lay my head. And I've seen Bible teachers try. I remember one Canadian TV program just within the last year. This person tried to make the case, but you cannot make the case that Jesus was somehow rich materially in this life. No, Jesus was rich. They gave him all that gold and frankincense when he was a baby. And Jesus was not rich. You see, here's the problem. So much of what makes the prosperity gospel sound so good, so biblical, is that it comes from the Bible. Comes right out of the Word of God. Let's admit it. But the health and wealth, name it and claim it kinds of teachings, they've got to be supported from verses from the Old Covenant. The Hebrew Scriptures. Promises of land. Promises of health. Promises of wealth. You see, Israel's hope was all centered around the promised land. land that we people in recent years have come to see them return to in great numbers, right? Particular years like, well, 1948, 1967. These are very significant years. They may even point to the soon return, the second advent of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It is getting closer. But ours, as we learned in the book of Ephesians when we went through it, ours is a heavenly hope, right? Jesus said that's where we're to lay up our treasures. Our citizenship is in heaven. Lay up your treasures there. In the Old Testament, the promises worked in a very linear way. In other words, you do this, God will do this. You do A, God does B. Give your land a Sabbath rest. In the next year, you're going to have plenty of crops. Be willing and obedient. You'll eat the good of the land. Give a certain percentage of your money, and you'll be blessed materially. Now, it's not that there aren't huge blessings following him. I've found it myself, my own life. I can't imagine anyone not following Jesus Christ. My life has been blessed in countless ways. Countless ways. But remember, we're called according to his purposes, his plans. Jesus, well, he even promises his followers tribulation in this life. Yeah, the New Testament writers, when we go through the New Testament, the New Covenant, those writers continually and regularly wrote to encourage Christ followers to endure hardship, to not give up hope, to wait for the coming of the Lord. Now, they weren't maybe knowing that it was going to be a couple thousand years and we're still waiting for that coming, but we certainly take what they said. And as we wait, in the meantime, we encourage one another, share one another's burdens, lift one another up, wash someone's feet, as Kevin got into there. I try very hard not to do what many people are inclined to tell other people, right? Like, well, hey, you're sad? Oh, put your faith in Jesus. He'll make you happy. Your marriage needs fixing. He will do that for you. No, no, no. You pray against that. You won't get divorced. Are you sick? Are you poor? That's not God's will. You just find enough faith. And don't let anyone's negative thoughts keep you from receiving your miracle either. You might have to distance yourself from some of those people. Yep, do that. You'll have that miracle. You'll have the desires of your heart here and now. And there's almost a superstitious nature about it. And that superstition gets mistaken for faith, by the way. Kind of makes me ask, what exactly is my heart desiring anyway? His glory or my comfort? That's a good question to ask ourselves, because nobody can promise all these great things in this life. As I said, Jesus said you'll have tribulation in the world, but you know the rest of that verse. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You have a hope that goes way beyond the best of what you might find down here. And again, there are blessings in following Christ. Some of them, some of them come through our brothers and sisters, by the way, in Christ. Well, this might be a good time, maybe over this next week or so, just to begin to ask God, Lord, how do you want me to bless someone? You've blessed me. How do you want me to bless someone else? There are amazing blessings in following him. We focused on it so much at Advent. I mean, it's incredible, beyond our comprehension. It's mind-boggling. There is peace and love and joy and hope, all those candles that we were lighting, right? All of these blessings in Christ, they're in Christ, and they point us to heaven, and they will sustain us in the midst of human suffering that will always be with us, even the best of us, as long as we walk in this fallen world. And yes, I've seen it. You have too. Some amazing answers to prayer. Never, never stop praying. But I've also seen, you have too, good, honest, sincere, faithful followers of Jesus, they lived this life under extreme hardship, mentally, physically. Some of them weren't that rich. Some of them dealt with sickness, something they couldn't wait to get rid of, but it stayed with them all the days of their life on earth. But they didn't lose hope, though outwardly, wasting away, but inwardly they found renewal, springs of living water in this desert of a world that we live in now, and the promise of a home in heaven, a spacious room within the Father's house that Jesus would prepare for them, that they would live in forever. Never lose focus on that. Now, as I promised, Lord willing, starting next Sunday, going to spend some weeks in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. But first, we've got to look at a verse in the New Testament, Book of Romans, that every follower of Jesus needs to know. And we're going to look at that. If you want to turn to it, it's Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And here I am in something else. Do you like to mark down in your Bible? Like I like to highlight in my Bible, I like to underline. This is one of those ones to underline. Maybe draw a circle around it, color it with a marker. And if you're good at this sort of thing, this is one to even memorize. It's Romans 15 and verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Everything is written for our benefit. It must be studied. But I remember somebody once said, not everything in the Bible is written to us, right? Some of those promises to Israel, well, even some of those verses that we love, right? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, they were spoken to the people coming out of Babylonian captivity, or if my people who are called upon my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. That's not a promise that God's going to heal Canada, but it gives us all a picture of what God is like. As we sang that song, Good, Good Father. Haven't you found him to be good? He's got plans for your life, and they're not to harm you. They're to give you a hope, and you've got a future if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. No question about it. Everything written for our benefit. So not everything in the Bible is written to us, but according to Romans 15 and verse 4, everything in the Bible is written for us. And this verse brings that out. Everything written in the past, but written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, you and I might have hope as we live from day to day. And where does all this hope come from? Well, we'll just read on for a little bit here. Romans 15, down at verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement, he's the one. He's the source. And may he give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see things differently from some of our brothers and sisters, right? It says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. Not just so we get along, but so that we might bring praise to God. You know, things like the vaccine, things like mask wearing. We differ on our opinion on these things. Be careful. Accept one another. Because it brings praise to God. It blesses his heart. And don't we want to do that? Don't we want to do that? Be careful how you talk behind people's backs. Yeah. And then, as we accept one another, Paul goes on there, Romans 15 and verse 8, for I tell you, Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. This is why I'm what they call a pre millennial person. I believe that there is still coming a thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, because I believe there are promises that God made to the children of Israel, and God is the ultimate promise keeper. He's going to keep those, and that's where he's going to keep them, on the earth with them. And we're included in it too. Moreover, it says in verse 9 that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I'll praise you among the Gentiles. I'll sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. This isn't something new. God's always wanted to. He's interested in the whole world. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. Ultimately, we know that's Jesus Christ, who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will put their hope. In verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Over the next weeks, couple of months, I hope we're all going to be blessed by the stories and words of praise that we're going to share together as we walk together on some of these good old roads, the ones that still lead us home. Stories and words that will give us encouragement and endurance to keep following on that narrow pathway. That looks like a pretty slippery little log that those little pink boots were walking on, right? But it leads to life. To keep walking in, well, what is so far another difficult year, the year 2022. So we're going to be traveling down some old roads, but they still lead home. Now, by the way, I've already started reading a fair bit in the Hebrew Scriptures starting next Sunday. You know what? I think I'm going to end up doing a couple of sermons based on some words that caught my eye in the book of Zechariah, the prophet. You know, I was away those couple of days in Point Clark up on Lake Huron. I preached two incredibly good sermons to myself up there. I'll have you know, yes, I sure did. I should have recorded them. I hope I remember them. But anyway, so maybe a couple of words I thought were good for those of us at Generations Church from Zechariah. I was also thinking about Hannah. I was reading the early part of the book of 1 Samuel, right? She was his mom and the vow she made to the Lord. Thought I might save that one for Mother's Day. Oh, and speaking of very faithful and courageous women, I read the entire book of Esther in one sitting, back over the Christmas holidays. And very conveniently, I noticed that 100 Huntley Street was offering the newest book by Max Lucado, based on Esther's story. Mary made a donation, it came in the mail. And you know what? This past week, I read Max's entire book in one sitting. I can't remember the last time I ever did that, but I couldn't put the thing down. Now, not that I'm going to copy things out of Max's book, although I may use it for reference. But that book from Max Lucado, it has a title that is taken from one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible. And as Max points out, it's so important for us to think about here with everything going on in our world around us. Let me just close here this morning. And the words come from Esther, chapter 4. You've no doubt heard them. And I may still come up with a sermon or three on the story of Queen Esther. Something kind of tweaked in my head that maybe I shouldn't wait. I should share these couple of words with you today. They're needed here in the early days of a new year, particularly on this history-making weekend in Canada, and as we sit and wonder what in the world is going to happen over between Russia and the Ukraine. These words are needed. The words her uncle Mordecai said to her. Words maybe even the Lord wants me to say to you. Okay, it's just that line from Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, where he said, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Who knows, but you've come, I don't know, you've come to join us here on these little boxes on Zoom. For such a time. And what a time is this? Oh, and who knows? God knows. He has you right where he needs you to be. Maybe you're just a day away Maybe you're a month away. Maybe it's a year, might even be a difficult year, but you may be close to another movement of God in your life, a moment that's going to change a circumstance, maybe alter a heartache, maybe move a mountain that right now you don't see any way around. That was such an important song, too, from The Color, because sometimes these things come into our lives, and we may not know until we get to heaven, but we'll understand that, yeah, I didn't like that, but, you know, God had a reason. Maybe it'll help you alter somebody else's life in a moment. Well, I don't know. God doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He who watches over you, who knows? Nobody here knows, but God does. What will he be calling you and calling me to? What will he be calling and equipping us to do for his kingdom here on earth in such a time as this? Those pink boots are made for walking, and that's just what we'll do. Father, I want to just thank you and praise you for everybody here. And for those that can't be with us today, Lord, or anyone that might be even be listening to this online later on, would you bless them? And not with my words, bless them with your word. Your word, O God. And as we go and look back on some of these stories that have inspired so many people and so many, well, it's changed our language. It's our whole laws are based on them. Father, as we think about some of these amazing examples of what faith in God can do, Lord, let them give us encouragement and endurance. We need both of those things. And let them give us hope. They're old roads, but they still lead home. And we thank you and praise you for your word in Jesus' name. And you know, may the God of hope, as we read there, may that God fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.